Just another one of these guys that are going to growl his way through the whole song or something.
The band is called Revocation. The song is Labyrinth of Eyes. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, isn't that just spooky? That sounds very, very scary. Woo!
Yeah, you're scared.
I couldn't care less.
Revocation, not reincarnation. Who said that?
Yeah, you did, Mr. Evans. Yeah, you did.
I know I did. Revocation and the Labyrinth of Eyes, brand new here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What are we doing for Click to Pick this week, this week?
Well, that's not important. This is only Wednesday, right?
Yeah, we don't do a pick that on Thursday, Mr. Evans.
I was just, you know, wondering.
Well, I don't know. There's not too many good ones out this week.
Yeah, a lot of it's kind of bad.
A lot of it's kind of bad? Jesus. Most of this garbage.
All right, so this morning on the Phil Hendry Show, we welcome all of you to our podcast / live feed / whatever we do with the best of intentions here from the El Pacifico. It's a gorgeous day here at the El Bicho, man. We've got some waves. We got all kinds of shit. And, General, you were talking about the drought, huh?
Well, you know, you were yesterday because Phil was out doing the... You were doing cartoon voices, is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
All right, I don't know anything about it, Phil.
Well, General, Phil is a... He is a voice artist, and he does perform these things.
I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't know a voice artist, as you call it, if the guy died on my property and began to rot and stink. I wouldn't know what he was.
Well, there's a great thought.
Well, you know what? On a good day, that is a pretty good thought for me. You know, so I don't know anything about it.
How about if I said to you that I wouldn't know a soldier if he died on my property and rotted
Wait a minute, a soldier, they do good stuff for America.
Yeah, that is true, Mr. Emmett. Being a cartoon voice, who cares?
Well, they've got you there, Phil. Being a cartoon voice, who cares if you live or die?
Hey, right there, see? Who cares if you live or die?
All right, you're right. Yesterday, I was doing some work in town, talking with a variety of fine-feathered friends, discussing with many of the young artists that I was working with there. By the way, we Kevin Farley, of great fame, both from television and film, was working with us on the show, and got to talking with Kevin about age and how we're not afraid of dying and how we like to freak out people that are younger than us by saying, "I'm not afraid to die, man," and then just watch them get all nervous and sweaty and, you know, back out of the bar. But anyway...
Oh, forgot. You're not serious, are you?
Not really, but yeah, sort of.
Yeah, you was talking about it.
But so the point was, we got into a discussion of the drought, man. I mean, I was talking about that with a lot of people. And because there's no rain and everybody's talking about how hot it was and this and that and something else, don't they have a desalinization plants, General?
Yeah, they got desalinization. You can take the salt water and turn it into drinking water.
That's the best idea I ever heard about. If you look at an ocean, there's nothing but water out there.
You can't drink that, bud. It's all full of salt.
Well, I mean, I know that, but... All you got to do is filter it out.
Yeah, filter it out, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you can filter it out, and it costs a lot of money to filter it out, man. The whole idea of a desalination plant is a great idea. It was one that they had 20 years ago. It's one they had 40 years ago. It's one they had... They've been talking about getting a properly constructed and well-fitted and perfectly performing desalination plant here on the coast of these here United States of America in this here state called... California. They've been talking about this bullshit for years, man. And they will continue. Now, is it too late to do the FanDuel commercial? Actually, what I want to do is I want to do our FanDuel commercial because I want everybody to know that the weekend is soon to be upon us. It is time for another FanDuel opportunity. It's time for another opportunity for you, me, and Baby Makes Three, man, to make ourselves a little bit of, you know, what we call the cabbage, huh? You know?
I don't know. So you're betting these games.
You're not betting. So you're backing your team. And it isn't just a team that is, you know, straight off the gridiron of the National Fool's Ball League. This is the team that you create for yourself, and you create a new team every week. That's what FanDuel.com is all about. That's what makes FanDuel.com the leader in one-week fantasy football leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. So you're buying in. You're buying your entry anywhere from a dollar on up. I mean, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. It is it's a totally usable and fun thing to do. You are constructing your team each week, a new team. You also grab a team defense, and
what does that mean?
Yeah, because they get the players and everything.
Take it easy, bud. God.
Yeah, Dick, but you're yelling at everybody's ears.
I'm sorry, you get the player and the team defense.
Yes, you pick a team offense, whatever you'd like. And then you enter, and you can enter any one of many competitions. I want you to hear about Chris Prince. I think we mentioned him earlier, right?
This is a kid from Detroit, right?
Chris Prince from Detroit is an avid fantasy football player. He's won over $656,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel. Now, that's just a passel of change.
That's hard, but that's almost $1 million.
Yes, it's almost $1 million, $750,000. FanDuel is paying out more than $10 million every single week this NFL season, but you have to play to win. So sign up today. What could be easier? What could be easier? Every week, a brand spanking new slate, man, you go for it. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code Hendry. Hendry, the microphone, upper right-hand corner. Hendry, microphone, upper right-hand corner. Hendry. And sign up now. New user special is ending soon. FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar up to $200. That's up to $200 free. The offer is only good for the first 50 people to use my code Hendry. Don't forget to use the code now. The code word, the code name, the big badass name, the name of my father's, Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. FanDuel.com, where every week is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. I really don't care whatever it takes to get him up on the mattress. I could have been the one that's on the rough, but again, but this is way more fun to get up.
Famous Phil Hendry show here. This is General Galen Chong. Got to try to get over here to Bob Bacon, right?
Bob Bacon is going to be joining us here for some of our traffic as we take a look at the highways and the byways of this here fantastic planet. Bob, how are things looking out there right now as we see the traffic heading into work?
I was heading out of Hamilton, and I got thrown out of the house and warned by my wife. But where we're up there, the I-5, the I-5, the I-4, up here is the I-top team, the St. U.S. Highway 61, Highway 61 revisited. You got to go out there to Arizona? Well, you go out to Arizona. I suggest you go to Arizona, because California is really hot. There's no water out here. But Arizona got probably enough water. Bobby, in traffic. Isn't they wrong in these men calling in? They wonder if I'm a kid with a little dick that got no common sense or with no collagen.
Did I just hear the words little dick?
I heard that. The vulgarity of this makes me want to weep. I swear to almighty God.
All right, well, I apologize for that, folks.
What's she saying about a little dick? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know what song this is. Who is this man?
This is the song. This is the music. This is the...
So dope. Oh, yeah, this is Tech N9ne. This guy's way out there. Way, way out there. All right, so as we were saying, and by the way, on the program today, we're going to be talking to a variety of fine people. Steve Bozell's going to join us. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Dad, I'd like to talk to Ted Bell about the steaks and everything.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about steaks. I don't know what we're going to talk with him about. Art Griego is going to join us from the Santa Monica Airport, and also your aunt, Robert, correct?
Yeah, my aunt's up here to talk about a same-sex marriage.
Mavis Leonard to talk about same-sex marriage. Some leading opponents of same-sex marriage said this week that their legal fight was far from over. There's people that are opposed to same-sex marriage. There's also a ruling this morning. The Supreme Court said they kind of rolled back on, I don't know.
You know, this same-sex marriage, now are they going to make it legal or not? I don't give a sweet Jesus one way or the other. But they ought to figure it, you know, make their minds up.
Well, it's a constitutional issue. You know, they have to, I don't know. I know there are a lot of people that Frank and I know. Obviously, we know a lot of gay people. We're in the entertainment business, and that means gay until you're blind from it.
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything negative.
Well, it sounded negative.
It doesn't mean anything negative. It means in the entertainment business, you know a lot of gay people. You know so many gay people. Well,
that's what should I say?
No, you should not say.
You're going to say you almost gag on it.
Hey! Come on, Mark.
Your ass. I said don't say it. Look what he does.
How about Dickman, you know? That's dirty pool.
Well, she said it earlier.
I said it off the air.
All right, so what? So you know a lot of gay people, so what?
Well, how about this guy? Did you see this, Robert? Bud? General, did you see him?
What about it?
What about it? He just said, so what? We live in a very liberal city, and you're saying so what to the fact that I know so many gay people? That I know so many gay people that I almost...
almost choke on it. See, you said that.
Shut your...
Hey, don't tell him that he can't say what you just said.
I'm telling you that there are a lot of people's lives affected by this.
Hey, Ms. Gray.
There are... No, hold on, Robert. There are a lot of people's lives affected by this, Phil.
Then what do you want me to do about it, man? Go to Washington, D.C. and talk to them about it.
What do you want me to do about it? Did you hear that, General? Robert? Anybody? Pardon me. You know what? I gotta go out to the car and find those white owls.
Okay. Did you drive yourself?
Yes, I drove my... Oh, I know how to drive, Phil.
All right. My voice cracked, and I sometimes get very excited about things, and it sounds like it's going way, way up there, and I didn't mean for it to sound as freaky and as weird as it done did. So there's that. Anyway, getting back to this whole desalination thing, I'm talking to the crew there yesterday, and I was talking about that, and you know, that's really expensive.
Look, you know, you're going to put a desalination plant on the coast of California, and you're going to make the salt water.
You could do it, though. You could do it.
No kidding? Yes, I know you could do it.
Well, then why don't they?
Man, it costs too much money, man.
Tell me it costs too much money to filter out the salt.
It's a whole process, bud. If you got to make enough drinking water and enough usable, as they say, potable.
Portable?
No, potable. Usable water. Clean, fresh water. To make enough of that to supply an entire state like California with the tens of millions of people that we have here, and not only California, but I would imagine that this would be available to... many of the drier western or southwestern states. In order to make that much water from seawater available, you have to filter, you have to desalinate, you have to desalt, in other words, a hell of a lot of ocean water.
Well, what is the... I'm sorry, I'm back. Are these the white owls?
No, they those wouldn't be... See, they say Dutch master.
Oh, well, aren't you observant, you know?
Wow.
You know what? I wasn't looking, General. Go back to your desalination.
I wasn't asking your permission.
Margaret, would you please? Go ahead.
Now I forgot what I was going to say. Most of these guys, every time I try to say something, these jackasses...
You just hit the mic.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll hit it some more.
All right, you ducked, oh, Jesus. So the desalination is an expensive thing. Do you know how much it is, General?
Well, what do you mean, do I know how much it is? You're not going down to Pep Boys and buying it.
I understand that, but it's billions.
Yes, it's tens of billions of dollars. Well, maybe not tens of billions of dollars, but it approaches the $10 billion mark.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And in order for us to raise that kind of money, there's going to have to be a tax hike, bond issues, all kinds of shit. But that's the only answer. Let me tell you what, that's the only... As the climate does shift a bit, continue to be drier in these western climes, as the desert gets more deserty, as the forest gets more forestry,
as the mountains get more mountainous,
as the mountains get more mountainous, you know, we're going to be dealing with this stuff, and brother, it is it's not an easy thing. So I think we have to do everything that we possibly can in order to effect a long-term solution. All right, we're going to be back here in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We do have Mavis Leonard hanging on the line to talk about the same-sex marriage thing. Do we have anybody that's... pardon me, I was belching.
Yeah, so I noticed. You asked if we got anybody on the desalination. I can talk about desalination. I don't even... What do you mean?
Come on, slow down, Gerald.
I'm slowed down, all right? I'm as slow as I want to get. I get any slower, I'm afraid I'll never get up out of this chair. Who
would we like to talk about desalination? You got somebody, bud?
Mavis.
She's already talking about... We'll be right back, folks. Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. She's already talking about whatever it is she's talking about. All right, here's Trinity. The song is called Trinity on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is a band called Amaranth from Massive Addictive. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. On the 29th of October, we're at the Ontario Improv, and I hope you can be with us for our, this will be our fourth or fifth of our one-man shows that we've been performing around the whole area here in L.A., you know. And I was talking to Bubba this morning on the Bubba the Love Sponge show there in Tampa that we are going to be making tracks for Central Florida as well, Tampa, South Florida, and so forth. So don't miss that, Jack. But we, on the 29th, will be in Ontario at the Ontario Improv. Get your tickets at the Ontario Improv website, folks. You can find links to that on our homepage. You can find links to that on our Twitter feed. You can find links to that on our Facebook fan page. That's Phil Henry Fans, PHANS, facebook.com/PhilHenryFans.
Celebration of the white race. I'm Margaret Gray.
What the hell does that mean?
What was that mean?
Don't start looking at me like I'm a racist. I'm simply saying this music does celebrate the whiteness, not the whiteness.
Yeah, it celebrates Northern European culture.
No, it does. Robert, don't look at me like that.
Well, I'm talking about the Northern Europeans.
A new song that's out today from Revocation, Labyrinth of Eyes. I think that's pretty funny, you saying celebrating white culture.
I did not say white culture. I said it celebrates the Northern European.
Well, I mean, you know, that's a...
Could be better songs than that.
What's that mean?
Just what I said. You know, you want to celebrate white European...
Wait, I thought you were the big liberal.
I am very liberal, and I do believe in the equality of the races. But it's nice every now and again.
It's nice every now and again to hear the fairy music.
I didn't say fairy music. What it's nice to hear, Phil, may I?
Go ahead.
It's nice every now and again to hear, as a white woman, but I'm not white in the sense that I'm Klan. I'm not Klan. Are you all? See, you're all looking at me. God, how I wish I had a liberal that... How I wish I had an educated liberal with me right now.
We could get Don Mixa on the phone.
Yes, Don Mixa would be a very good man to talk to because I believe that Don is a liberal, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the University of Washington. We get him on the phone so that you can dig yourself out of this hole.
It is not a hole. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. If I may.
Go ahead.
It's nice to hear... Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I can't talk about it because I'm a singer. When you hear African culture music, it's generally do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do, you know?
Yeah.
Would you give me a break, Robert?
Just say what you want to say, Margaret.
Robert, you know what I'm saying.
Well, I mean do-do-do-do-do-do.
I mean the hip-hop beat goes ba-boom, ba-ba-boom. But in celebrating the white culture, we hear and oftentimes we long for... Oftentimes we miss, and we so dearly miss. Fuck it.
Margaret.
No, fuck it.
Well, you're the one who was talking all this smack.
What smack am I talking, Phil? I'm celebrating white people.
Jesus, Margaret, you know, there are a lot of things and ways you could do that better than the way you're doing it now.
Excuse me, goddamn, man.
What's wrong? What's with you?
Mr. Evan, you want a drink of water?
Yeah, give me that, here we go, Arrowhead water.
That really come from Lake Arrowhead?
I doubt it. It's just the name. It's 100% mountain spring water is what they're saying. Well, you know.
Yeah, you don't know if that's true, do you? But you make fun of me going, what I'm trying to do, Phil...
You know, whatever it is you're trying to do, Margaret, you're not doing it too well. Anyway, welcome back to the program, Phil, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Frank Gray is joining us here for just a very, very quick moment because we don't have a whole lot of time, Frank. I understand that that you wanted to just weigh in here on something.
Yeah, Phil, good morning. I wanted to talk about Margaret because I think he's getting a bad... Margaret in the morning...
Frank, would you tell them, please?
That's what I'm doing right now. Why don't you just... God damn it. Listen, when he gets up in the morning, he oftentimes loves to sing the elven songs of old.
What about an elf?
Not an elf. The animal is called an elf, Dickman. Do you understand?
Well, it's not exactly an animal.
Well, what is this all of a sudden? Am I getting butted into here? I want to say something.
Let Frank finish, okay?
I'm just saying.
You're talking about the elf as if it's an animal.
I don't give... Yeah, it is. I've never heard of an elf being anything other than... Are you trying to tell... What's she trying to say, anyway?
Would you watch it with that she stuff?
You know what? I'm going to hang this phone up.
Wait. General.
Oh, sorry.
So... Go ahead, Frank. And tell us what you think about the Margaret singing these,
Look, when he gets up in the morning and he's getting ready to go downstairs with our son, Jason J. Delmonico, and prepare her breakfast, he's always flitting about the bedroom, singing in the northern... And I'll say to him, I'll say, honey, what are you singing? And he'll say, I'm singing the northern European songs of our ancestors. And I'll say, okay, thank you very much for that. I'm Jewish. Where do I fit in? And he'll say, you got me there. However, the tribes of the Jewish... people that did come north, oh, well, they settled in Eastern Europe, so I guess that leaves you out. And I'll say, God damn, is that racist. That stings through and through, almost as if I'm getting an exam where they put that catheter right up the, you know, and he says, wouldn't I like to know? And the answer to that is no, and I said to him, no, you wouldn't. Now,
all right, Frank, so please just...
All right, I'm getting to it. So anyway, he flits about the bedroom going... La 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 la, and I'll say to him, that sounds almost like an elf gone mad, and he'll say, that's exact. It's not an elf gone mad, but it's the elf. It's a northern European. God, am I taking Jason J. Delmonico to school?
Yes, I'd like you to do that because I'm here now, Frank, and I can't do that. And they have they're only doing an afternoon session.
All right, I got to take my son to school, so where is she? Anyway, I guess she's out sitting in the car. But I was trying to say what I was going to say about the lilting elf music, but fuck this and all the...
You know, I'm really getting upset.
Well, Phil...
No, I'm getting upset with everybody taking advantage of my good nature and the liberal atmosphere around here and ending everything with the F word because Frank can't spit out what he wants to say. 90% of these jive-ass mothers that come on this show, excuse me for saying...
Are you talking about me?
Sometimes I think it's you guys, too. 90% of you guys always talk about whatever it is you want to talk about, and you end up with... You get frustrated because you get tongue-tied, and you don't know what it is you want to say, and you wind up with the F-word. And there I hear Frank...
You just said that Frank says the F-word. What are you saying? F-word?
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, my God, there's the Stephen Collins story.
I don't want to get into the Stephen Collins story until such time as we know what the actual situation is here, because there's been so much... TMZ reported this, and TMZ has been the at the forefront of slandering. Well, I shouldn't say slander, but they have been at the forefront of throwing as much shit and garbage on top of people as they possibly can. Yeah, I got to tell you, there's people that are willing to believe this story, but they weren't willing to believe the Donald Sterling story. I just like to see people get a fair shake, that's all. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you were willing to believe all the things that Donald Sterling said on that tape recording.
Yeah, I was. Yes, I was. I heard the context. I heard the recording. I want to wait and hear this, if at all possible, before I say whatever the hell it is that I say. This is a guy that's going... You got to understand something. This is a situation that is well known in American jurisprudence or in divorce cases where women are accusing the men, the ex-wives soon-to-be, are accusing the soon-to-be ex-husbands of molesting the children. It's very commonplace. It's a way of getting leverage in a divorce. It's a way of basically defaming your opponent in a divorce action so that you can get as much out of them as you can and ruin them as much as you can. Divorce is extremely emotional. You know, it's a very emotional situation.
Well, look, Phil, we don't want to go through your whole divorce, but I understand you're saying that divorce is emotional.
I'm not going through my divorce.
Yeah, but you almost was.
Now, keep it off your divorce, Mr. Rennick.
Hold on, wait.
I'm keeping it off my divorce.
Wait.
Let the general speak, please.
What are you doing out there?
I'm smoking a cigar so I don't stink the joint. Are you ready for this guy? Did you hear what he said? He said, what are you...
We hear you, Margaret, okay?
Yeah, I heard you, Miss Gray.
Thank you.
All right, now here's my point on this whole situation here vis-a-vis this guy with the divorce. You know, you're talking about divorce and the money. Now, I remember, you remember Bill Burton, who was a member of the... He was a member of that SAC flying wing that I was assigned to back in the 1970s. I told you a little bit about that. It was the Air Force and the Army. Well, Bill Burton was married to this beautiful little lady that he met. She was not a cocktail waitress. She was pushing ham and eggs at that diner.
Oh, this is the girl that he married, yeah.
Yeah, so, because he went into this place called the I think it was called Larry's Egg Hatch. That's it. And it was in Wichita. And it was on the route between where we were going, sometimes funneling ourselves between Chicago and the main base there in Nebraska.
What do you mean you were funneling yourselves?
That's what you call it in the military when you drive from one place to the next.
Shit.
You don't know that.
No, I don't know that. I don't know any of these military terms.
Miss Randy, you went... Yeah.
Yeah, want to know that?
Yeah, that's fine, man. Great.
Jesus, Phil, you know, you're going to start making noises like a normal human being or not. So anyway, this little gal he met at this place called Larry's Egg Hatch, and it was there that they fell in love. And they would meet, and she was working at Larry's Egg Hatch for, I'd say, about 6 months after Bill and this little gal, whose name I'm not allowed by legal restriction. You can't mention her name. That was part of the settlement.
Wait. Hold on. You can say the name of the guy,
yeah,
but you can't say the name of the ex-wife.
Jesus, that seems very unfair.
That's the way they wanted it. So they were married. So then she quits this place, Larry's Egg Hatch, and she goes to work for the tomfoolery. This was a place. It was a bar where these guys went in after test flights and test flight.
What was it called?
It's called the Tomfoolery. It's a bar in Lincoln, right?
Yeah, a bar in Lincoln, Nebraska. So she's at Larry's Egg Hatch until she got a bigger offer to go to the Tomfoolery. She was there for a year. Now, meanwhile, Bill doesn't know what's going on, but she's planning to leave him and accuse him of all kinds of horrible things. She left the Tomfoolery and went to work at the Bacon... You guys know where the Bacon... I think it was Bacon's Bacon. And she...
What is all of this?
Now, these are where she worked.
What's Bacon's Bacon?
They're the place that's owned by Jerry Bacon.
Jerry Bacon on the place. You know the place, right?
No, I don't know the place.
Jerry Bacon. Jerry Bacon was the stand-up comic, Phil, out of Omaha, Nebraska. And he opened up this bar for sailors, or not sailors, but for airmen and for enlisted army.
Bacon's Bacon, the Tomfoolery, Larry's Egg Hatch. What do all of these places have to do with this woman divorcing your friend?
It shows that she was working for some very... See, all of these places were mobbed up. So in the final divorce action, she withdrew her complaints about him and the kids, and she just said, don't mention my name. He got all the money and the kids.
What a freaking story that was.
Yeah, that's... You never heard about the Tomfoolery.
I never heard about any of these things that you guys talk about. Guys, how do you know about this, Margaret?
Well, let's see. It was in the news. Oh!
Yeah, it was in the news for a long time.
I never heard about it. And we can't say her name.
Can't say her name because that was part of the divorce settlement. He got the kids. He got to keep the money. He got to keep... I shouldn't say he get to keep. He get to keep is wrong, isn't it?
He got to keep.
Yeah, he got to keep the money, the cars, the jewelry, the kids, so long as no one mentioned her name or her association with Bacon's Bacon, the Tomfoolery, or Larry's Egg Hatch.
Now, why is this phone ringing? This ought to be good. This is New York State. Are you ready for that?
You gotta be a real jackass to be calling this hour.
You know what you just got yourself? You just got blocked, man. Calling my fucking phone. Let's see if they leave a message. Calling my phone in the middle of this here video cast just got your ass blocked. Bud, block that.
Yeah, what number is it?
Right there. That's too bad, man. That's a real shame. So anyway, getting back to the tomfoolery.
Well, not the tomfoolery, but it was the bacon, the bacon's bacon.
And that was a bar?
Yes, that was a bar.
All right, well, I don't know what any of this has to do with anything, but other than the fact that she was going to call him, she was going to call him out on something?
She was going to call him out on some of the things that he'd done wrong, and then he said, well, you know what, she was working for these places that obviously had connections to Wu, the Mafia.
Well,
You know what, Phil, you never have anything to say that's conducive. You're just, well...
Well, what are you guys talking about, man? This Stephen Collins thing is a whole different ballgame.
I'm telling you, if this guy can track where she's been working, if he knows...
I guess if he was married to her, he would know.
Yeah, Phil, you know, you're talking like some guy that took... Talk about taking one off the lips.
You are, Phil, a little bit.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to articulate as clearly as I can for the overwhelming majority of people that are listening to this broadcast this morning who don't know what the F it is anybody's talking about. I'm trying to articulate it as clearly as I possibly can. All right, so Mavis Leonard is coming up. So we all clear. Oh, I'm so glad, man, by the way, that we get. And thank you very much, Frank Gray.
Well, Frank was trying to do his very best, Phil.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Frank, for that. So are we all clear on the desalination efforts?
Why don't you tell people about this cartoon you were in?
Well, no, I'm not going to tell anybody. Just to say that I was working with some really, really funny, really talented people yesterday. But yeah, the conversation got around to that. It got around to a whole bunch of stuff. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, listen, with a backstage pass, you have access to over 10,000 hours, over 15,000 hours. By God, I don't think there's any real, there's no real knowing how many hours of audio entertainment we have on the Phil Henry Show website. But by God, you can go there at philhenryshow.com and get a backstage pass, a subscription membership. Become a member of the BSP family. Become a very special person. You know, we don't take everybody. Only people with money that can afford the $9.99. So, or longer subscription, you know, subscriptions are available, let's say. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, Iggy Azalea.
This twisted cat and mouse game always starts the same.
First, I think this young lady is wonderful, Iggy Azalea, and I'm Margaret Gray, and I, well, I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Yes, this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Feeling stupid for all the time that I gave you. I wanted all or nothing for
what the hell is this woman singing about?
Might be me believing what you say that you never mean. Like it'll last forever, but now forever ain't as long. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be stuck singing this song. You were different from my last, but now you got a mirror. Then is it all plays out? I see it could be clear.
Is that your aunt?
Thirsty for me, but now you wanna be set free. This
is the world. Mavis Leonard joining us here on the Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Iggs. That's fantastic, Iggy. All right, we have with us on the line Mavis Leonard from Southgate, California. What is it I'm hearing in the background there, Mavis?
Robert, are you talking to
him? Yeah, we put in a spa.
I'm putting a spa in the backyard. I want to put in a 7-jet spa, Pastor William Rennick. As you know, I work part-time for him. He wants 7-jet spa. That's why I said, you know, I put this in.
Wait, well, that's the... Okay, I mean, it's up to you.
This is a happy medium, you know.
I understand he's trying to scam a spa out of all the people over there, Phil. I'm way ahead of you on that, okay? I'm just telling you, I put the 7-jet spa in here. He's only going to come over here a couple days a week until they get one in over there. In the meantime, I've got right here. I want to sit in a spa, have myself a Henry Winehorn, you know, and try and enjoy my life. And Robert, you come over here and you get that spa. So help me God, if the water displaces out of that thing and like half empty, I'm going to call up the man to come out here and fix it. And as he's packing up all his tools to get out of here, I'm going to ask him to take you too. You understand?
I didn't do nothing wrong.
But I'm just anticipating.
All right, well, how big is it?
It's a floor of 7 people.
Robert's not that big. I mean, he's big, but if he gets in the spa, I don't think he'll displace that much water.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know something? I'll believe that when I see it.
I'm not trying to do anything, but just go in the spa, use a 7-jet.
You use that 7-jet spa when I say you can.
All right. So anyway, the same-sex marriage thing here, Mavis. What's up?
Well, I tell you, what do you mean, what's up? I don't run some social dating site for gay people, Phil.
No, I know that, but... you know, you're a very religious woman. You're a woman of I think you're a woman of sincere ethic, and you love people, and you are, you know, and you're trying to be, even though you're religious, trying to be liberal here. Opponents of same-sex marriage geared to continue battle in the courts. Now, you're around a lot of people, I would say that they're probably very devoutly religious people that are opposed to same-sex marriage, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, that stands to reason that those people are going to be opposed to it because that's just the tradition of the church. And in the church, you have got to understand that we're coming from a very conservative background. And when you say to me, I walk in a church, say, I only had two men going to get married today. I said, whoa, 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 you know. And this took a long time for people, I think, to understand this. You know, today here in the church, we're going to marry two ladies. Today in the church, we're going to have two men. So what I've said to the people in our church, I said, look, we are love people, and we're going to be about equality. And they said, yeah. And I said, and the other thing, I just put up a gazebo out here, because that's the other thing I want these guys to do later on after you get done with the spa, is put up a gazebo in the backyard, and they can be married in the gazebo and everything like that, so they don't have to mess up the church. They don't want to go over there.
How does Pastor Rennick feel about it?
I'm not talking about it. Pastor Rennick is opposed to gay marriage, and then I said to him, I got the gazebo.
Yeah, you understand? Pastor Rennick, he doesn't want it. Now maybe got a gazebo.
Well, what about the gazebo, dear?
The gazebo is where all the people are going to get married, including the gay people. I charge $700. You know, put it all together, what do you got? You got yourself in that payday on a two-day weekend? Give me a break.
Oh, so what you're talking about is making money off these people. Well, I don't think that sounds very religious.
Whoa, there, Sunshine. I'm saying this.
Don't call me Sunshine if you don't mind, Ms. Leonard.
I want to tell you this, General. I believe these people have a right to be married. And I'm going to provide a place for them to be married. And if that means they come at my house and they go in a gazebo, and that's where they're going to get married.
What is a gazebo anyway? I'm not familiar.
Gazebo, man, is like a wooden thing out back. Everybody stand underneath it.
Well, no, that's not what it is.
I'll tell Dickman what it is. A gazebo is a ceremonial arch. And a lot of times it has like a cover over it. A gazebo is a place where you can sit up and have yourself a cup of tea. You know, if you're out and you're enjoying the afternoon. I know a guy like you, Dickman, you probably don't drink tea, right?
No, I don't really not. I mean, not.
No, I think that's a no. But you can, if you did drink tea, you sit out there like if you were a lady. And you were a very delicate lady, like I'm a very delicate lady.
Well.
Hold on, Robert. I'm a very delicate lady. And you go out there and have your tea. And then you could also have a wedding.
Well, it is true that a lot of gazebos are used as places where weddings are held. I've been to a great many, and you are. But this is a business for you.
I mean, for the time. Yeah, it's going to be a business for me. What is it with everybody? All of a sudden, I can't make no money. I'll make some money on this. I'm going to cater it myself.
Yeah, Mom, she does some good catering.
I've heard your finger foods, if you don't mind me putting it that way.
Well, I'd appreciate if you put it sort of like hors d'oeuvre and that. It just sounds better.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say finger food.
Yeah, it sounds a little dirty, you know.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with finger food.
All right, so anyway, the food that you prepare, Mavis, I understand is fantastic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mom, pretty good.
And so you've got a whole catering business and the gazebo.
That's right, and I feel I specialize in same-sex wedding. Then the people of the Joyful Union Congregation, or whatever they call themselves this week, you know.
Well, it's always Joyful Union Congregation, isn't it?
Well, sometimes they call it JU, sometimes they call it Jughead, because Joyful Union Congregation is JUC. A lot of people say it's a jug.
Well, that's Chuck, that's not jug.
Well, a lot of people at the church call it jug or call it Jughead. You're going over to the jug today, I'm going to go over and see Jughead. Joyful Union Congregation. And middle school, that would be JUCMS, and that's a lot of people call that junk man, or junk mind, or look at my junk. So it's all very dirty, and I don't want to have nothing to do with that. That's why I have a gazebo.
Yeah, put a gazebo in, man, and all the child sit on the bus.
What, say that again?
He can't talk good. $700 what we charge.
Well, actually, that's not a bad price.
That's pretty good. And there you have a place where. Now, who is the presiding minister?
Pastor Rennick.
It would be Pastor Rennick.
Well, then why doesn't he have this at his church?
I don't know whether you've been listening, Phil.
Phil, these are very conservative people.
Yeah. I cannot bring any gay people over Joyful Union Congregation, not now. I think maybe in 6 months, maybe to a year, in 6 months we take another look at it. You know, after the midterms. But right now...
What do you mean the midterms?
After all the elections and everything like that.
Yeah, well, you know, so you'll take another look at it when all this other stuff blows over?
Yeah, that's my feeling.
What do you mean midterm? Who cares? You guys have a church? You have a gazebo? I mean, are you talking about Pastor Renick?
Yeah, I'm talking about you asked me whether he had a
All right, whether he has the gay marriages there in the church or whether the same-sex marriages will continue to take place at your gazebo. So he's worried about his congregation.
Yeah, he's worried about his more conservative congregation.
All right. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. I'm going to take a phone call here from Lancaster, California. We have Austin on the line. Austin, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Philip. And good morning, Ms. Leonard. Nice to speak with you.
Yeah, good morning.
I won't be very shy. I'm opposed to the marriages of a man and a man, and a woman and a woman. You call it same sex. I do oppose it. And I will oppose it on religious ground. And I don't think it's right that a man marries up to another man and they walk down what I call the streets of America hand in hand. I think that a man walking with another man...
Wait, hold on.
If I could finish, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
I think a man walking with another man should be walking separated, perhaps by a foot or so, touching elbows, maybe they shake hands, but for a man to go hand in hand on the streets of America, that thing is wrong. Now, the lady brought up something here where you charging money for the gay people?
That's right. I charge $700 for them to come get married in my gazebo.
Yeah, no, that, I heard that. And I've been doing interior carpentry work for the last 30 years. I do kitchens, I do cabinetry work, and I can build a gazebo as good as anybody. What would be my... How you look at me, a guy that's anti-gay, if I did make a gazebo, had it in a backyard, maybe not my backyard, because my friends would not like that at all, and they probably would react very extreme in a case like that, to the point where they might try to run me out, burn me out, and run me off, you know?
Who would? Your friends?
Yeah, if I put a gazebo in my backyard.
I understand, Phil. There's some people in there, they're not going to, they won't have it. You put a gazebo in your backyard and have gay people get married in, God knows what's going to happen, you know?
Well, what I'm saying is, if I put up a gazebo in a new, more neutral area, perhaps closer to some area where people accept, I could run my business that way.
Well, you are opposed to gay marriage, we thought.
Yes, I am opposed to it.
I think like a lot of things, you see money can be made there.
I will not say that I'm going to marry gay people in my gazebo without punishing myself. I think I have to do penance. What that penance would be, I don't know. But if I'm celibate, and if I live the life of a celibate, I am married, and I've got a wife who, I will tell you right now, enjoys sex very much and demands it on a regular basis. But if I said to her that I'm going to be celibate in order to observe God's will, that gays don't marry, but I am building a gazebo so they can get married. And she says, well, that's it for you. I'm going out. I'm going to hunt up something. I want a pipe laying Dan, hell of a man. You know what I mean?
All right, yeah. So what's the point?
Mr. Henry, the point is, you know, if I can make that kind of money, that's how I would see my way clear to do it. In other words, I would be able to reconcile that.
He talking about reconciling his own mind, having opposing gay marriage, but if he's straight, but if he's celibate, and his old lady goes out and hits up a truck driver and gets put on her back by a 5'6" truck driver, you don't mind?
I would mind, yeah. But I would also can't necessarily say I can, because I'm going to be celibate.
So you're going to say to your wife, I'm celibate for the next year in order to observe God's will that same-sex marriages not take place, even though you've built a gazebo, just like Mavis is having built. You put it in some neutral area so that it's not on your property where they may burn your house down, and you will take in the revenues that are generated by that while your wife is out screwing some other guy.
You know, the way you got a way of putting things, Mr. Henry, that just makes this world lousy, you know?
No, sir, I'm repeating back to you everything that you just said.
I got to see, that sounds pretty much what you said.
Well, I think that I put it in a far more genteel way, but my point is that how would you view that from the standpoint of same sex?
I think that you would come off looking like a jack in a hat. I think you'd look like a clown pumping up out of a box with a pointed nose. I think people want to shove you back down in the box, turn the crank a couple times, and watch your ass fly out of there ass first. That's what I would hope.
All right, so you would not like it.
No, I would not. I think it'd be hypocritical.
I agree. It sounds like the most tantamount hypocrisy.
Well, I wasn't really asking you, lady. All right, Mr. Henry.
Excuse me.
Yeah, see you later, Mr. Henry.
What was that about?
He didn't want to talk to you.
You know, Margaret, there's a lot of people here. Your big bazoo going morning, noon, and night. And when they call in, they don't want to talk to you.
My big bazoo.
All right, Mavis is still hanging with us. So I think that what we can say safely here, Mavis, is that you're full speed ahead with your plans of if you'll pardon the expression, erecting a gazebo.
That's right. I won't put you know, you say whatever you want, pardon the expression. I do that because I want gay people to have a place to marry, and I'm not going to get Pastor William Rennick pissed off at me. As far as that man goes that we just talked to, he sounds real dumb, and I don't think there's no hope for a man like that.
Yeah, I sound like a real dumbass.
Well, you know, it, on any given day.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mavis, and the very best of luck to you, darling. Have a good day, huh?
Mr. Aaron, thank you very much.
Mavis Leonard here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show talking about the brand spanking new gazebo. Did you know about this?
Yeah, I knew they were putting a gazebo in, but I don't know if she's going to try to make money on that.
Well, that's her right. That is, that's her prerogative, or not prerogative, that's her prerogative.
Yeah, it's the prerogative that she has.
Exactly.
Well, she may have the prerogative to make that kind of money, even though... The individuals in her church are very conservative and would look down their noses at such an arrangement. I find it very conflicting.
You know, it just goes to show you that at the end of the day, it's money that makes the world go round, Bud Dickman.
Well, that's not that profound. And by the way, you went, you know, with your elbows up and your shoulders up, you looked almost arrogant, Phil.
Yeah, Phil, you look a little arrogant when you go, hey...
Well, if I've got a point to make that's a good point, doesn't mean I'm being arrogant. It means I'd like to make the point and get the hell out of here. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico on this gorgeous, gosh-ding-dang day. We'll be right back here. I want to tell you a little something about our friends at Harry's, man. Do you know these cats at Harry's? Harry's is the place. Harry's is the place where I got my razor blades, my shaving gel, my shaving cream, and my aftershave lotion. It was delivered to my house, and I had a beautiful shave yesterday just before I split off into the hinterlands to go to work in the funny voice business. I'm telling you, it was very, very refreshing.
Oh, tell me about Harry's. So they deliver the razor blades.
Yes, they do. Harry's is a business that started when these guys at Harry's went to Germany. And they took a look at the operation over there and decided to have their razor blades made in Germany because they liked those blades so much. They purchased the factory, kept the production there in Germany for that high-quality, high-performing blade that is crafted by the shaving experts. They didn't pack these things in those little plexiglass cabinets. They didn't pack those things in those big portable shaver bags. They didn't pack those things in something that you will never open. And once you finally do open it and you apply it to your face, it's like the tortures of hell. No, man, Harry's Shaver, seriously, is a wonderfully convenient way to get a great, good, I say great and good, because there's no, those two words must be combined, to get a great, good...
Now, that sounded illiterate.
To get a great and good close shave, a fresh shave, look your best, feel your best, act your best, and it's delivered right to your house, okay? And get a load of the price here, man. The starter set is an amazing deal. $15, you get a razor, moisturizing shave cream, and 3 razor blades. And we were showing it on the air yesterday.
Yes, the 3 bottles, also the shaving gel.
Shaving gel, shaving cream, and aftershave lotion. Why would you pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when it's half the price at Harry's. With Harry's, you'll get a better shave that respects your face and your wallet. No more poor quality blades, too. Man, those lousy blades. These blades that we got from Harry's, along with the razor handle and all of those fine, luxurious applications, the creams and gels, terrific, terrific quality and a great close shave. On average, an everyday shaver saves $150 each year on blades using Harry's, okay? It's shipped right to your door. So experience a clean, close, comfortable shave with Harry's. Go to harrys.com now, and Harry's will give you $5 off if you type in my coupon code PHIL, P-H-I-L, with your first purchase. Go to harrys.com now. They'll give you $5 off if you type in my coupon code PHIL with your first purchase. That's H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, and enter coupon code PHIL, P-H-I-L, at checkout for $5 off, and start shaving better today! Fit for a King and Slave to Nothing. One of the songs here this morning on the world famous...
What do you think about that whole discussion with that Leonard?
Well, look, like everything else in this world, it's about money and how much money you can make. The whole thing that has driven the civil rights, the key ingredient to the civil rights fight, the success of the civil rights fight in America all these years has been... money.
Now, how do you figure that? We're talking about the fight for decency, Phil.
I'm telling you that while you could be fighting for decency, the thing that motivates it, the thing that moves it along, the thing that gets it going is the whole money game. That's my feeling. And when you begin to tap into someone's money, either depriving them of it or helping them make more of it, then, friend, you're living large, and that's why I think that it's probably not a half bad idea. All right, folks, the Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We got Ted Bell is going to be coming up with us here, and we need to get Ted's jingle ready here.
Yeah, I'm going to find out Ted Bell's on a he's on a car phone.
Yeah, that's him on the phone there.
So get Ted ready to rock and to roll, my boy. Okay. Ted Bell from the car going to Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
I'm on the air now. Yeah, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted's of Beverly Hills with that Kansas City steak and that New York steak, 12 ounces. Are you kidding me? No one beats Ted's of Beverly Hills. No one, no how, no way. We want to put our meat in your mouth.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Well, yeah. And, you know, one of the good things, Phil, about doing the show with you at the Improv, it was there at the Hollywood Improv, it was there at the Irvine Improv, is being able to explain to people what we want to put our meat in your mouth is about.
Well, you know, Ted, this is General Show. I'm glad you're doing that, because every time I tell somebody that, you know, I they look like they want to just peel the skin right off. I said to this guy, Bill Stoolin, who's my brother-in-law, I said, get over here to Ted's. They want to put their meat in your mouth. And he looked at me like he was going to drive his fist right straight through my skull and right into the wall behind me. I mean, this all passed in front of my eyes. Why must I suffer that?
I'm telling you, General, you don't go up to a guy and say, go to Ted's, he wants to put his meat in your mouth. You go up to that person and say, go to Ted's of Beverly Hills. That's where they put their meat in your mouth. Now, that's what I paid for. That's the way to say the slogan. And we try to educate people on this.
You know, Ted, I don't know of any company that educates its customers on how to say their slogan.
Well, that's not necessarily true. There have been a lot of people that have tried to, or a lot of companies, I would say, that have tried to direct how something is said.
Right there. Margaret's right. You know, everything from, you remember the guy in L.A., that Jack Kerrigan, that plumber, Jack Kineski. Remember the guy that kept screwing the guy's name up?
Jack Steffen.
Yeah, there you go, Jack Steffen. And they did a commercial.
Oh, I know that Jack Steffen guy.
Right, they did a commercial where the guy that did the commercial said, when a guy would say, hey, go on over to Jack Stefanovich, he'd say, no, it's Jack Steffen. And the repeating of it got everybody to remember the Jack Steffen. See, I almost forgot it, though, but it was effective at the time. But it was Jack Steffen. And they would say, what's his name, Steffen? He'd say, no, it's Stinklevich or something like that.
No, the guy's name was Steffen.
Yeah, that's it. No. The guy's name was Steffen, and they would butcher it up.
All right, so what has this got to do with we want to put our meat in your mouth?
I didn't say that.
No, he's saying they want to put their meat in your mouth.
That's the what I want my customers to say when they leave. You know, boy, I just had a great steak over at Ted's of Beverly Hills. They want to put their meat in your mouth.
All right, can I ask a question at this point?
All right, here we go.
No. It's not here we go. I want to know in which social setting.
No, here we go. See, this is, I know when you are trying to make me look like a monkey's ass end, okay, Phil? I know when this is happening. Now, here's what I said.
No, when do they say this?
When they say it is this. You, let's say you just walked out of my restaurant and you had yourself a steak, okay? And you've done that many times.
Yes, I have.
And you've enjoyed the steak.
Yes, I have.
All right. You walk out and you're walking down the street and you say, there's a guy there, and you say, hey, I just had a guy, they put their meat in my mouth. No, that's not what you do.
Yeah, see that?
All right, Phil, take it easy.
Well, look, you're the one, Bell, that's had this slogan for so many years.
No, you go up to a guy and you go, I just had a steak at Ted's of Beverly Hills. They put their meat in my mouth. What is the slogan, Jim? I got Jimmy driving the car. Hold on, Phil, I got Jimmy driving the car. What's the slogan, Jimmy?
They want to put a meat in the
mouth? No, they don't want to put a meat in a mouth. But you know what I mean, and that's why I feel that, we have a great, if people would get it right, I have called upon individuals such as yourself, Phil, where I do advertise my product to please, in the name of everything holy, in the name of God, to do it right, and you guys refused, so.
I have not refused. It just changes, that's all. Look, Ted. We want to talk about the role of economics in civil rights, okay?
Yeah. I want to do that, but I want to. Are you understanding what I'm saying, though? I want to put me. You go up to a guy and say, "I just ate at Ted's of Beverly Hills." They're going to put their meat in your mouth.
That's not what you said. They want to put.
Yeah, no. You're right. They want to put their meat in your mouth.
Okay. See,
Well, Don Dickman was. They want to put their meat up your mouth, and you knew that was wrong.
No, I did not. I didn't. That's the whole thing.
Ted, you have changed it so many times. All right, that it's very difficult for people to remember.
When have I changed it? When have I ever changed it? We want to put our meat in the mouth, not in the mouth. All right, I did change it. When I said we want to put the meat.
Now let's get off of that kick. I want to talk about the role of money in civil rights. If you don't mind.
If you don't meet. See, even you've got meat on the brain, or maybe in the mouth. Now, anyway, Phil, I couldn't resist.
All right, thank you very much, Ted.
Do you want him to be totally hung up on, or just partially hung up on?
Get him back on the phone, but we got to go into a break, and I don't want to listen to his bullshit right now. Excuse my French. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. October the 29th is our big day at the Ontario Improv. Get a backstage pass to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Become a member of our Backstage Pass family. And we will be doing our very first series of remote podcasts from Hawaii next month. Other places that we're planning on remoting from, Scotland. That's right. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be heading over to post-independence election Scotland to see. And by the way, it's the land of my forebears, the land of my family. So we got to go there. And we got to do a show from Canada.
So you're going to all the places where your family is from.
I think that's what we'll do. We'll do a whirlwind tour, as the pastor likes to say, a whirlwind tour to show where we're from to all of our listeners. Right back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Ice Cube. Last words. You pay back for crap. Satan never did nothing for a nigga on the trigger.
The zigger, the zack, the nickel, the back, the nigger, the sack. The oh, my God, the N-word. I can't. So keep your motherfucking joke. Oh, God. Pair of lokes, no jokes, but smokes, crackers and them dirty mackers, friends on jackers, get you for your drugs, young niggas gotta kill for the cause, yeah.
Can't stop me. M-I-G, I got proof. Banged in my youth. Keep niggas on the roof with a scope. Dope. Q, keep the rope. Tupac will string a nigga up. It's the mob dope. So what's up, punk? You want what I got? Step to me wrong. Fuck around and get shot. Your mom crying. Fuck up. Bust up. Bitch starts crazy to me. And I've done.
I was watching the TV. What's that Ice Cube on the TV there?
Yeah, he was on one of the... Ice Cube was at the Dodger game, yeah.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, that... by the way, the Dodgers, nice going, Dodgers. You're gone. The Angels sucked on wheels. Boy, both teams here in the Los Angeles area, man, they just butchered it six ways to sunset.
Well, I mean, they played against a good team.
Yeah, whatever, man. Clayton Kershaw, Mr. Cy Young or whatever, Mr. No-hitter, Mr., you know, modern-day Don Drysdale, this guy got his ass handed to him in two games during this series. So there you go. Clayton, you're a good kid. I understand you do a lot for charity. I understand you like people, but you're going to have to get ugly. You're going to have to get tough. You're going to have to get, you know, you're going to have to get in there and kick some ass. Where's he from, anyways? He from Utah?
Yeah, I think he's from Utah.
The people in Utah are very nice people. Maybe too nice. All right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Angels.
Yeah, the Angels suck anyway.
No, well, the Angels, you know, I had higher hopes for the Angels, but they went out in a big flash against Kansas City. So the two NLCS series start this weekend. You're going to have the Giants against the Cardinals. And the Baltimore Orioles will be taking on the Kansas City Royals. So that's going to be a fascinating thing.
Now, I saw you tweet something, we have Art Griego.
Yeah, Mr. Griego, come on the line here in a minute.
All right, we'll get Art Griego up in a moment. What?
Well, I saw you tweeting something about the St. Louis Orioles. I don't know what it was.
No, it's not the St. Louis Orioles. It's the Boston...
No, it was the St. Louis Browns. It's one of those things that I kind of find interesting. The St. Louis Browns were originally the Baltimore Orioles. Actually, they started in Milwaukee back in 1894 as the Milwaukee Brewers. They moved to St. Louis and became the St. Louis Browns. And then they became the Baltimore Orioles after 1954. The thing that I was tweeting, which I thought was interesting, is that there was they were almost the Los Angeles Browns, or whatever the hell they would have called them.
What are you talking about, the Los Angeles Browns? That's some kind of a joke?
No, they wouldn't have called them the Browns. Art, do you know about this?
Well, you know, I know a little bit of it, because my father knew Bill Veeck, who was the owner of the Browns, but the St. Louis Browns were the team that came from they came from St. Louis.
Well, we get that part, but what was the Los Angeles tie-in?
Well, the L.A. tie-in was that they were going to move to Los Angeles in 1942, and it was all but done. They were not doing well in St. Louis. The Cardinals had begun to, you know, do very well, and St. Louis Browns nobody cared about. Well, L.A. at that time was the third largest city in the country, and it didn't have a major league team, which sounds kind of screwy. So they wanted to work out the logistics, how to travel. And well, what happened was before the season, the 42 season started, guess what happened?
Pearl Harbor.
That's right. World War II broke out, and they had to put everything on hold, including the travel, because there would be travel restrictions due to the war, and the St. Louis Brown organization thought that it would be too restrictive and might cost them too much money to try to get the team traveling around the country, so they stop.
So the Browns might have been in, we might have had a major league team in L.A. in 42?
In 1942, yeah. As it turned out, it took another 16 years for the Dodgers.
Boy, I can't even, so the first team in L.A. would have been an American League team.
Well, what difference does that make?
It probably wouldn't have made any difference. Now, where were they thinking they were going to play, at the Coliseum?
Yeah, they would have played at the Coliseum, which we know has been configured for baseball, not very easily. Not that anybody, you know, really likes it for baseball, but it was used for baseball, and they would have done the same thing. But it's a very, very interesting and time-consuming issue when you talk about baseball. But you know, these playoffs are happening here, and you know, may the best. I just got to take one sip.
You're not drinking again, are you?
What do you mean drinking again, Phil? I never quit.
I mean, in the morning, man.
I need a sip. Hold on. Yeah. Smooth as silk. There's been that, and there's been a...
you know, I can't sit and listen to an alcoholic.
I'm not an alcoholic.
Did you just took a sip of booze, right?
What about it?
Jesus Christ, Henry, it's 10 o'clock already.
10 o'clock, this guy's... He's babbling, and you don't have some kind of tremors, do you?
I don't have any tremors. Why? Because I listen to you guys doing it morning, noon, and night on this show, and nobody ever stands up and says, hey, you guys all sound like you need a quick neurological testing and maybe even a CAT scan because there might be tumors. You guys just go, la, 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 la. I go like that, and then I say, let me take a drink to calm my nerves, and you assholes are all of a sudden all about me.
Hey, watch the language, will you?
I'm sorry, but that's what you're doing.
All right, okay, just forget it. Forget I even said it. Art Griego's joining us here on the Phil Henry Show, talking about some of the things in the news. We were going to talk, I thought we were going to discuss some specific in the news other than sports, but as long as we're on this jag about baseball, who do you like in these playoffs, in the championship series?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that it's going to be a Baltimore-San Francisco World Series. I think the Cardinals will climb all over Kansas City and will destroy them, and I think the Giants will do the same to the St. Louis Cardinals.
I disagree there.
Well, hold on.
Jesus, well, he's the guy that's supposed to do it.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I think that the climate is that the San Francisco Giants, I know what you're going to say, St. Louis is probably going to win, and they probably will. There's every indication that St. Louis will win, but I think the Giants will win.
Why?
Because I just think they're a better team, and I don't think there's any way that St. Louis can beat them.
And yet you just said there's every indication St. Louis can win.
Well, there is, because St. Louis has... I think St. Louis has far better hitting. I think that St. Louis has far better defense.
But you don't think there's any way they'll win?
No, San Francisco is a much, much better team.
So they have better defense? I don't understand what you're saying.
The San Francisco Giants have way, way better team. St. Louis has a better defense. St. Louis has better pitching. And they may have better hitting, but the Giants... So St. Louis is a great team, and I think they're way better than the Giants, but the Giants will win.
What will get the... So why will the Giants win?
What are you getting frustrated for?
I'm not getting frustrated.
Yes, you are. You're going, what will...
Yeah, kind of did, Mr. Henry.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You just heard what I heard. You're saying, Art, that...
I'll repeat it for you if you want.
You're saying, Art, that the Giants are going to win... But the St. Louis Cardinals are better.
The Giants are a better team than the St. Louis Cardinals, but there's every indication the Cardinals will win, yeah.
What are the indications?
Yes, why do you say that?
Because the Cardinals have... You want me to go through it again?
He already said, better hitting, better fielding.
Doesn't matter, man, if you're telling me that they're better hitting, better fielding, but the Giants will win because they're a better team.
Yes.
Who will win the Angel? Not the Angel. Who will win the Baltimore and Kansas City series?
Well, I think in that case it's going to be the Baltimore Orioles all the way. And one of the reasons, it's interesting, Phil, that Baltimore Chic is in, and I've noticed this because we've done. I'm retired from commercial flying, but we do charter flying. We're doing more and more charter flights to Baltimore. People just wanting to go there and spend very wealthy people, obviously, but wanting to go there and spend a weekend or a week, go to the restaurants, visit some of the old neighborhoods. Baltimore is now a very chic place to go, and people are wanting to go there. So I would pick Baltimore in a series against the Kansas City Royals because of the chic fact. I know it's got nothing to do with baseball. If I could tie it in.
Well, say, how do you tie that in?
You talk about Baltimore being better. Than Kansas City?
I think Baltimore's a better city than Kansas City.
All right. Okay. Can I say something?
No, wait a minute.
What you're saying is that Baltimore is a better city than Kansas City and therefore a better baseball team.
No, I didn't say that.
You did say that Baltimore will win.
I think Baltimore will win because they are the far better city. They're the better people. And what is it with all the dead air? You guys don't...
It doesn't make any sense, man, to say that Baltimore's going to win because they got better people, better city, but they don't have a better team.
I don't know anything about the Baltimore Orioles as a baseball team, although I do know that they're a very powerful ball club. They've also got very good pitching. And I think the Kansas City Royals, I know they're calling the Kansas City Royals America's team. Am I right about that?
That is right, yes. The Kansas City Royals. Did you hear that, General?
Yeah, I did hear it, and I'm very offended by it. Because, I'm not necessarily, I don't necessarily love L.A. or anything, but you telling me that the Kansas City Royals are my team, America's team? Buddy, you better smile when you say that and then go, ha, 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 I'm only joking.
Well, the Kansas City is an all-American team. They wear the blue and...
They're not my team.
So Kansas City is America's team, and you're pulling against America's team.
Yes, I believe that America's team, there's a reason why America's team is America's team. The people are a quality people. They're better. You know?
Wait, that is exactly what you said about Baltimore.
That's right. You said that Baltimore has better people.
No, yes, I did. And they do.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later.
You know what, Phil?
Well, Phil, you can't just hang up on people like that.
You know, Phil, I was going to say, you've got to make it work.
Make what work? That guy is drinking his lunch and his breakfast.
That is true, Mr. Henry.
Right. He's drinking his lunch and his breakfast, and then he wants me to follow him as he takes me down this Days of Wine and Roses delirium path of... The Baltimore Orioles are the better team, but Kansas City has got better people. But Baltimore is a great city, and their people are better. And that's why Baltimore is going to win, even though Kansas City has better people. So that's completely effed up there. Then we got the San Francisco Giants, and they're going to beat St. Louis because they're the better team, even though St. Louis has far better players.
Well, he didn't say that. He said that St. Louis...
Doesn't matter what he said. He didn't say anything. I will tell him this, though, if you're listening, Still Art, and you should be listening, because I did you a favor keeping you on the air as long as I did, with you sucking down that...
He did take a taste.
Well, I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with a guy having a taste to put a nicer, a brighter outlook on the day.
I think it's very unhealthy. Okay?
Why do you say that? My father used to do it.
Your father used to take a drink in the morning?
My father kept a bottle... You know, Phil, there was a time when men kept a bottle in the desk.
That is true, Phil.
Yeah, well, good for them, man. But I don't see how you can get a day's work done when you're drinking, especially when you start the day off drinking. And if anybody did it that worked for me, their ass is fired. I don't give a crap, you know?
Jesus, you're a real pain in the ass, you know that? You used to be a real party guy.
Well, maybe I'm not a big party guy anymore. Maybe I'm not a big party guy anymore, but anybody that I catch working for me... Drinking on the job gets fired. Anybody smoking weed on the job gets fired.
Well, wait a minute. Some people need marijuana.
If they have a medical marijuana license and they have a prescription that I can see from a doctor saying that they need that weed during the course of the day to manage some kind of a malady or illness, they're fine. But if people are just blasting up on the job, people are drinking, their ass is mine, man. They're fired. Phil Henry Show here, philhenryshow.com. Here's a new one from T.I., That's right, you heard me right. T.I. Paperwork. Paperwork. From the album Paperwork.
No business until you check his paperwork. And if all else fail, I just hope that this paperwork. When bit lit dogs blow smoke through the roof. Everything got a cost. They gon' need something on you.
Paperwork. ATL, West Side. That's the only home I know in 85. Me and Uncle Quint used to ride around in the big
bike. Yeah.
Took me up at Char Disco, daytime, set me down at the bar where I drank Shirley Temple till he walked out with a bag and we got back in the car.
Hey, General, I want to ask you a question. Why don't we just go in there with a bunch of flamethrowers and tanks and just wipe these ISIS pricks off the face of the earth?
Well, we could, but we don't have the will. We're not going to put American soldiers on the ground. It's going to happen. We've already been through the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War. The people over there better start fighting their own fights.
So the question is then, is it good or bad for America for an Islamic state? And I guess the answer is, it's bad.
Why would that be bad when we are a freedom of religion country?
It depends upon the kind of religious country that the Islamic state is. And you can see, they're sawing people's heads off.
Yeah, they're sawing off a guy's head, and they're walking around going, look, I just got a head off. Why don't you become a member of the Islam? No way, no way.
You know what, bud? You're such a simple-minded boob that some days I want to throw my hands up and collapse in hysterical laughter, realizing, of course, that I'll never recover. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
She's laughing at you.
Oh.
All right. Your answer was what?
My answer was that we don't want to fight another. We don't want to put more American troops on the ground. If you say, and I say that the guys over there got to fight their own battles, I'm not saying that we were wrong to go over there. The American people just don't have the balls to go over and fight that fight.
It's got nothing to do with balls. We don't have enough young men that we want to sacrifice.
Look. As to the extent, thank you very much, T.I. and Paperwork. As to the extent that it is an important part of the world that needs to be democratized, shall we say, because if they go the other way, they become a hostile entity operating in an area of enormous resource that is still utilized by the American people, i.e. oil, on the borders of other states that could very well be, in the days and the weeks to come, hostile, such as Russia. This is called, folks, this is geopolitics. You can't ignore it. You can say, well, it isn't right for us to be there.
Well, what Phil's trying to say, may I?
Go ahead, General.
What Phil's trying to say is, well, I don't know what you're trying to, what I would say is this. ISIS needs to be neutralized, utilizing the most modern and efficient of pieces of equipment, the latest in all technologies. And that means if we can put one of those smart bombs right straight up the emir, what do you call the guy that runs the whole thing, the great Amin Khan, whatever. You take a smart bomb or missile and you park that right up that guy's ass. Friend, it doesn't get much better than that for me. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Yay!
I was very half-assed.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him for it being half-assed. You say you want no boots on the ground, but you want America to use the high-tech weaponry that we have to influence that war. That's what we're doing right now. And these airstrikes, as it was just admitted here by the Pentagon.
Well, it says that the Pentagon airstrikes are not going to save. Is that, what does that say?
That's Kobe.
Not Kobe, Kobani.
What is that?
That's the game of the Laker.
You are so stupid, Dickman, that I think I need to kill you.
Hey, wait! Get up. Come on now.
What a moron.
Kobani, you jackass, not Kobe.
I didn't see the part.
You didn't see the part? What part?
With the ANI. The ANI.
With the ANI, as you're saying?
Yeah, so I saw Cobb.
You saw Cobb, and that translated into Kobe.
Either that or the station in the Bukirkies.
You know something, man? I'm just trying to tell him, Mr. Renner. It's not called Kirky. It's called Albuquerque.
That's what I mean, in Kirky.
In Albuquerque. In Albuquerque. All right, so we'll see what happens with all of that. But the fact is, you know, it's. I think America's probably done. We could do more, and getting over there and kicking their asses is a good idea. Are we going to do it? I doubt it, man. I doubt it. There's no popular will for it. We're taking ourselves back into that isolationist stance that we have had so very many, oh so low these many years. It ain't necessarily a bad thing, you know, but it ain't necessarily a good thing. All right, folks, it's time to say goodbye for this day as we, you know, gradually kind of work our way back into the week. Yesterday had a great time in North Hollywood. I did work with some great people. We did work with Kevin Farley. By the way, I saw Tara Strong out there, another great voiceover artist. You know Tara, she's on that Brony. What is that?
The Bronies. These are men that are fans of The Little Pony.
Oh, okay. So Tara's on that show. And she was also, she works a lot, man.
Well, she's a very lovely, now does she do any on camera?
I haven't seen Tara do any on-camera stuff, but she definitely could. Mo Collins, working with her, she's great. And I don't think I'm talking out of school when I say that we also worked with Haley Reinhart, formerly of American Idol.
Now that is an interesting. Now, what did she do in American Idol?
Well, what do you think she did? She sang.
I know that, but what episode?
I don't know. I have no idea. But she's a fantastic voiceover artist. You wouldn't guess it. Fantastic voiceover artist. So we had a good time yesterday, and we'll be back to do more. Trip Lee here. This is called Manalo from the album Rise. Brand new here. Maybe even a pick to click on a world famous Phil Henry show to lock things out on this here afternoon and morning. Don't forget to visit the improv site, the Ontario Improv site, to get tickets to our October 29th one man show, The World of Phil Henry. Truth is our bitch. Truth is our bitch. Don't forget to also hit us up for a backstage pass subscription at philhenryshow.com. See you guys tomorrow.
Bye.
Also, a Lecrae on this one.
And it's a Lecrae's on this one, too, yeah.
Trying to tell them boys I never leave the crib alone. Cause I keep one in my car and I got two at home. They different kinds, but they do the same thing. Double edged, double barrel. Bang, bang. Yes, sir. I'm out here facing dragons, I ain't out my mind. Bang, bang. They coming from a soul, so it's bad that time. Bang, bang. Them lads, they trying to kill me if you don't believe me. I don't care, I can't take it easy. Yeah. I'm flipping a page, I'm trigger happy, you're clipping the gauge. And they hitting the stage, hit you with truth, he's in every phrase. He cut me deep, I'm diving in, diving in.
dead. Come alive again. Come alive again. Come alive. That's right. When I ride, I get to come. You know we get it. Come alive again. Uh-huh. Manolo, man.
When I ride, I get
to come.
I do it for the turn up.
I'm out here going poster. My partners think I lost it. My mama think I'm loco. I keep my shooter close though. You know it's fully automatic. Shoot you straight, man. That do you plenty damage. I got enemies, I can't see them all, but they lurking. I flip that page on them, my trigger fingers stay working. I got plenty ammo, got old and new, they both testify. My law, and ain't nobody playing with you, gon' mess around and come testify. And I ain't gotta say no more. Mama, click, click, bang, and a thing gon' blow. Red letters like a red dot on your dome. Yap, 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 yap. All y'all gon' wanna dash or the backseat. That's me with a clip full of black ink. I'ma hit y'all with it till I split y'all with it. Man down, had a bad week, bad week. Man down, man down, man down,
man down.
Do it for the turn up. Sometimes it ain't even funny. Them lies are sicker than pores. And why the truth, it is sweeter than honey. And we know that he got us. He is with us, can't block us, he back us. When them lies are the lockers, his word is my weapon. It's going for rock.
I do it for the turn up.